count it an honor to hear them minister tonight in our service. So let's keep our minds right on the Lord. Now, if you hadn't noticed, Brother and Sister Rich aren't quite as young as they used to be. But I got news for you. Neither are you. Amen. And that doesn't change the desire in their heart. And I'm glad Brother Rich and Sister Rich are able to do what they can do. Why don't we stand? Would it be all asking too much of us to stand? Let's help Sister Rich sing, and then we'll turn the service to Brother Rich.
I have everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. For He has saved me and He gave me life eternal. I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. Oh, He has saved me and He gave me life eternal.
Testify before I sing these verses. I hadn't sang this song in a long time. But you know, when we're young, we kind of have our map, our life mapped out. But as I look over my life, it hasn't just went the way that I thought it was when I was 16. Because I didn't think I was going to marry a preacher. When I was a little younger, I thought it would be nice because, you know, they got to travel and they got to do this and they got to do that. But as I got older, I realized the responsibility of being a preacher's wife. And I don't think I've made a very good one. I've tried, but I'm glad the Lord guides our footsteps. Had I went some way that I might have chose, I might not be here tonight. And as Brother Steve preached this morning, we don't know what we're facing tomorrow. We face some battles. But if we're not careful, when we get kind of down to the end, things wear on us just a little bit more. Oh, yeah. And we think, what if this happens? How am I going to make it? But then I have to look back and say, God, You brought me through here. And my grandson, Derek, he preached here a while back on God is more. And he preached that God can do more than we can even ask. So that's what I'm depending on tonight. I had nothing but heartache and trouble. I was seeking for fortune and fame. I had nothing but doubt and confusion. But now I have everything. Oh, I have everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus
big plans for my future. I was living my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning. And now I have everything. Oh, I have everything I need to make me happy.
Leon told me today, and boy, when you go to facing your own words, I told him, I'm asked to preach tonight. I don't really feel up to it. He's a man, do like you've told me and others. Get up there and preach like the whole world was on fire and you're the only guy available to put it out.
Right.
Well, that's good advice. When you have to face your own words, sometimes it's pretty hard. But I'm glad to be a Christian, and I'm glad Brother Moore didn't leave us over there by that bitter waters today. But he told us a place where we could go where there was 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. That sounded like an oasis in the desert. And it was. And I'm so glad to be here tonight. And it doesn't matter. This old man here, I'll soon be 81 years old. And I thank God that I still have a little bit of strength left. And I'd like to use my strength for the Lord. I'm not boasting in what God's helped me do, but I have preached the gospel in over 20 countries. I've been in 26 countries. I have built 23 churches in Panama, and give God all the praise for it. And if I had all the people out of those churches here, this building will not hold them. All the people are saved in those churches. And I give God all the glory, all the praise. But I just want you to know, if you are willing to be used, God will use you. And I've had young preachers to call me and say, well, Brother Rich, we want to know how you do it. I don't know how to tell them. I don't know how you do it. You just ask God to be with you and go on and attempt it. And as you attempt it, God begins to do things for you. To build 23 churches, you have to raise several thousands of dollars and pay for each one of them. Every one of them is paid for. They all belong to the Lord. I don't own any of them. And I'm glad that I have some wonderful pastors over there that's pastoring the churches. Had a little bit of trouble with one of them this last time I was there. I don't guess we got anybody like that here in the States. Had one guy pastoring the church for my movement, which is the River of Life. And this guy was drawing a salary for me. And he was preaching for another group too and drawing two salaries at the same time. And, of course, he didn't last too long doing that. I told him, you got to make up your mind who you want to work for and which side you want to be on. But people are, that dollar bill is going to cause a lot of people to be lost. They get hungry, money hungry. They get to wanting some of the things that this world affords that they can't afford. And when you do that, you got to come back down, down, down. Well, we want to thank you tonight, Brother Steve, for this opportunity. And I've been enjoying Brother Moore's sermons. Have you? Been preaching good to us and telling us the right way. And I've never heard Brother Moore, and all the time that I've been with him, I've never heard him preach something that would lead somebody astray. And that's more than you can say in a lot of churches. And because there are places that lead you astray. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, if you will. I won't be up here very long, I don't think. Two reasons. I'll not tell them to you, but I don't think I'll be here very long. Maybe it might be like Bill Burkett. How many knows Brother Bill Burkett? How would you like to sit under him for one sermon? See, one sermon he preached over 8 hours. Over eight hours in Brazil. Boy, I believe I'd have had to take a few breaks. I might even had to take a coffee break in that long a time. But that's a long time to preach, isn't it? 8 hours. Wow. But Brother Burke is a great preacher and a great man. I'm not downing him. That's just what he did one time. And I preached a couple meetings with him, and he didn't go that long. So I was thankful that he didn't. But I love Brother Burkett. How many has 2 Chronicles 29? Chapter 29. All right, you turn there. And I'm going to read some scripture to you, beginning at verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. My text will be found in the next verse. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, for he hath delivered them to trouble and to astonishment and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. And for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. I want you to notice one verse of scripture there in verse 7. For they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Now I want to preach tonight on let's keep their lamps burning. Let's keep their lamps burning. We read in Psalms 119, verse 105, the Bible states there that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Verse 130 almost repeats the same thing. And so lamps in the Bible are synonymous in many places with candles. And there were 7 golden lamps in golden lampstands in the temple. But during the wicked reign of King Ahaz, he desecrated the house of God. He shut up the doors, my, and put out the lamps. And this brought judgment upon Israel. Many pulpits, many churches are in darkness tonight, for the word of God has been shut out. The Word of God is a lamp to the church, to the home, and to the individual life. And if you're having problems in your home, if you'll search this book, you'll find the remedy to your problem right in this book. But they put out the lamps. And when the lamps were put out, then they brought in the abominable things. They mixed holy with the unholy. They offered offerings to other gods upon the brazen altar, which should be used only to offer offerings to the God of heaven. They put no difference between the clean and the unclean. They put no difference between the holy and the unholy. And when the lights went out, they made altars in every corner of Jerusalem and desecrated the house of God and took the holy vessels of God and cut them in pieces after the lights were put out. Now, it's a terrible thing to neglect lights. For I was raised, I wonder if anybody besides me was raised with a coal oil lamp. Few of them were. Huh? You was, Sister Rich? Okay, Brother Moore, Sister Moore, and our Sister Tiny. Well, I'm not in here all by myself. But an old kerosene lamp, you get that thing burning, and it do real good until it starts getting low on fuel. It'll go to flickering, and if you don't do something pretty soon, it'll go out. But before it goes out, it'll smoke up that globe. And before you can light it and get it going again, you have to go inside and outside and clean that globe before you can have light again. And many pulpits in this day and hour are in darkness. The Word has been put aside. They have desecrated the things of God. When the lights go out, problems begin. Oh, yes. Why do men put out the lamps? Why do they put out lights? Here we are. The answer is found in the Word of God, John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. I have a cousin that served on the San Francisco police force for several years. And he said that serving there in that big wicked city, he said you could shine a spotlight down an alley. There may be more than one person out there. If they wasn't up to no good, they just kept on doing what they were doing. Maybe looked at the light. But he said people that were doing the wrong thing always tried to get away from the light. When we preach the Word of God, when we preach holiness, when we stand for truth and righteousness and what this Word teaches, you never have no problems with those that are trying to live right. It's those that want to come up close, like old Brother Ralph Camel preached on fudging one time. Anybody here know what fudging is beside me? Anybody? Am I the only guy? Yeah, I got one. Is that the only? Am I the only guy? No, you know what it is, brother? Well, fudging is when you're playing marbles. And they draw a big ring, put all the marbles in the middle, and you got to shoot from that line. Fudging is when you put this hand on the line, this hand on top, and you got your tall marble you're getting ready to shoot with, and you lean over like that, you fudge. Well, let me tell you, a lot of people are fudging on the things of God. Oh, yes, I said a lot of people are fudging on the things of God. It's a terrible thing to neglect lamps. They will go out because of neglect. The oil will go low, and lamps will go out because of negligence. But notice, these lamps did not go out because of neglect. No, no. The Bible said they put out the lamps. Someone with a light heart, willing hands, deliberately snuffed out the lamps to get away from the light. That's why men seek to put out the lamps. They love darkness rather than light. You want to know about these dim places? Now, Brother C.J. Phillips, he's a good friend of mine, has more money than he knows what to do with, but he never did give me too much except he gave me a new Cadillac one time. That's a pretty good gift, wasn't it? And he gave me different money different times, but he liked to eat in a place in Athens, Georgia. You walked in and you thought, well, they must be having a blackout here. And you ordered your food, you blinked your lights, and after a while, you could finally see what... I like to see what I'm eating. Oh, yes. Yes. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a day when men are putting out the lamps. We're living in a day when we have preachers who preach against preachers like me and your pastor and other ministers that preach the truth and who preach against sin. They preach against us. And they say we're the problem because we're shining the light in the darkness. Oh, I repeat, the lamps did not go out because they've been neglected. But someone who despised the light put them out with willing hands. There were seven lamps. All were important. None were without significance. And the reason there is so much worldliness in the church today, in many churches, the lamps have gone out. I want to thank my pastor here tonight in front of all you people that he holds the standard. And I've never had to talk to him, but if the standard starts going down, I'm going to come and talk to you, Brother Steve.
All right.
Amen. Yeah. I'm not in here all by myself, am I? No. We are a holiness church. We don't claim to be Baptist or Methodist or a charismatic, some liberal church. We claim to be holiness. We should be holiness. There were seven lamps. All were important. Oh, yes. And I want to deal tonight with seven lamps I see being put out in many of the churches today. Number one is a very important lamp, especially for our continuance of our churches, and that's the lamp of evangelism. I remember when reaching the lost and pointing sinners and backsliders to the cross of Calvary was one of the main purposes of the church. Oh, they preach, get saved, be saved. Oh, if you don't get saved, you're going to be lost forever in hell. And my old pastor, he didn't cut you a bit of slack. He come down that aisle preaching the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Boy, he didn't cut you no slack. But he gave you a compliment if you was doing good. Oh, yes. There were seven lamps. All were important. Evangelism was one of them in our church today, and we should desire to reach the lost. But now we think we have to take this gospel, and to make it effective, we've got to attach to it some kind of recreation or some kind of emotion. Oh, yes. Bring in certain singers. We don't need any special singers coming in here, although we do have them. We welcome if they're living right. But we've got enough talent right here. Oh, yes, we've got some wonderful singers. But sometimes I wonder, where is the burden? Where is those who carry a burden for the lost? Where are those, like Bill, my brother, we was driving down the streets of Tulsa one day, and he pulled a little car over and parked on the curb. I said, what's wrong, Bill? He started crying. Said, do you realize all these people we just passed are lost, going to hell, and what are we doing about it? I'll tell you what he did about it. He started him a Saturday night street service every Saturday night. Oh, it should stir our hearts. Was it not Paul who was in the city of Athens? Athens? Where was Athens at? Greece. Athens, Greece. He was there in the city of Athens. He was waiting on Timothy to join him. While he waited on them to come, he got to looking around at the condition of that city. Got to looking around at the sins that were going on in that city. And the Bible said his spirit stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You don't have to even go out of Purcell. Just go down here. Look around on the streets there. You'll see sin down there. It's everywhere. But does it stir you? Does it bother you? Do you have a concern that, like my grandchildren and your grandchildren are being raised in a world like this? I had dinner today. Some of you call it lunch. If you want me for dinner, have me at 12 o'clock. If you want me for supper, call me for night, you know. But anyhow, I had lunch with some of my family members, little precious children, unless their grandma and me, and tell them about the love of Christ. Who's going to tell them? Oh, I just wonder. Somebody needs to get under the burden and the load of evangelism. Somebody needs to tell this generation it's the blood of Jesus. Oh, and only the blood of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved. What happens to he that believeth not? He shall be damned. There's no other way. It's just right straight to the point. Either believe this old-fashioned gospel. Either believe in the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a price that was paid out there on Calvary. When you stop and think of the price that such a precious lamb that knew no sin. Even John the Baptist, when he saw him coming down the road, had to cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, evangelism is very important. Then there's sanctification. Anybody know what that is? That's being separate from the world. In the Old Testament, they had holy vessels that was used in the house of God. They sanctified them vessels. And they were not used for any other purpose but just to serve in the house of the Lord. To do any other purpose, use them for any other purpose, was to desecrate them and commit sacrilege. And hear me today, when people come into our church, claim to be ever so holy, you see them out on the street living like the world, dressing like the world, talking like the world. Oh, somebody is going to be responsible. But it's not going to be me. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell my own children the truth. I'm not going to go around the corner just because I love them. Love's not going to stand in my way. I'm going to let them know that the road they're on will lead them to hell. And then I turn around and tell them, but God's made a way that you can escape the judgment of God. Yes, we're losing our identity as holiness people. Oh, there was a day when you could see a person, holiness woman, walk down the street, or whether she's holiness or not, she's easily identified which side to put her on. But now, you see some is dressed real good. So we was in a restaurant in Florida, down in close to Brother Thompson, I'm trying to think of the name of that place, down close to Dundee, Florida. We was in that restaurant. I saw this holiness woman, I thought, sitting over there, dressed so good. Saw her bow her head. I thought, when I get to eating, I'm going to go and see what church she's from. But before I could get over, she had done fired one up. So we can't always go by this outside. Right? Did I say something wrong? All right. Thank the Lord, I could have. Listen, the devil wants us to blend with the world. Oh, yes and no. The fellow that used to run a radio station where I preached every day on that radio station, KCLO in Kansas City, he said, "Brother Rich, you get a lot of mail comes in here." But he said, "Think how much more mail you'd get if you cut off a few of these things and named off several things and just blend with the people." And I had quite an answer for him. I said, I'd rather not blend than bend. And then I gave me a chance to tell him about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Sanctification is a very important thing. The real problem is the need of holiness examples. Not just people that can talk the talk, but holiness examples. I see some changes, even in the holiness churches. I go around different places. I see some differences than in a few years ago. And I don't think young girls need to look like old grandmothers. But I sure don't think the old grandmothers ought to try to look like the young girls either. So, you slide that right in there, fits real good. Listen, hallelujah, hallelujah. The need of holiness examples. We need some real Holy Ghost power. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, we don't need this mumbo jumbo stuff. Oh, people willing, speaking tongues. One guy told me, he said, I was sitting on my bed smoking a cigarette and I was speaking in tongues. He said, you don't believe me, do you? And I said, oh, yeah, I believe you. You were speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost was not given the utterance. You were speaking in tongues. The Holy Bible, this Word of God that I'm preaching from tonight, the King James Version, according to statistics that I read recently, you may have read it too, Brother Steve, says 78% of all ministers who preach the gospel do not believe that the entire Bible is a divine, inspired, infallible Word of God. I believe it all. Oh, yes, I believe it all. Oh, from over the very first of Genesis to the last of Revelation, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. These new translations, better leave them alone. This King James Version was taken from the original Textus Receptus, which is the most accurate that you can find. I'm sticking with it. You use what you want to. You say, well, I got the NIV. Well, your NIV just simply stands for non-inspired version. That's what it stands for, non-inspired. Let me hurry on. Holy Bible. Holy Bible. You see, there'll never be a personality that can ever substitute for this book. A preacher down in Georgia, close to Brother Wilburn Thompson, says he don't need the Bible anymore. He says he studied the Bible enough, and God speaks to him. So he don't have to have the Bible anymore. He can make it without the Bible. Well, hear me. No man, whether, I don't care if it's Brother McDaniel or Brother Steve Moore or Don Rich or whoever it is, no man ever gets so spiritual that he can operate without this book. You hear me? Moses realized he needed the book. So he took the book, killed the sacrifice, sprinkle both the people with blood, and sprinkle the book with blood. This is the only book that's been besprinkled with blood. You better believe it tonight. Hallelujah. You say, well, I just don't quite believe it that way. Well, this book is your judge. You are not the judge of this book. You'll be judged according to the things written in the book. I'm trying to hurry here. But listen to me just a little bit longer. If you'll read in Jeremiah the 36th chapter, you'll find there a man by the name of Jehoiakim. You know what he did? When Shaphan came in and read to him the word of God that had been given directly, took out a penknife, put it in the fire. In the fire until the whole book was consumed. And I'm afraid some churches you could go to where you'd hear very little of the true Word of God. Thank God our pastor preaches the truth. As I said, he didn't leave us over there by that bitter water this morning. He took us over to a better place. But we need to understand that this book is God's holy word. Do you believe it this strong? Here's how strong I believe it. I believe the words of this book is just as powerful today and just as binding today as if it was spoken by God this very day. Huh? Do you believe it that strong? When I read in there, thou shalt not commit adultery, better leave that, those things alone. When I read about the things of the flesh, stay away from them. Be sanctified holy. Hallelujah. I'll tell you another thing we need is more spiritual worship. I wasn't here last Sunday. Boy, I wish I had been if it actually took place like I heard. But God's not just wanting to do that one Sunday out of the year, two Sundays. He's wanting to pour out His Spirit. Oh, yes, you may not always have the same reaction, but God's wanting to give us spiritual services every time we gather together. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I believe in spiritual worship. And I believe emotion is taking the place of spiritual worship in a lot of places. But real worship is when your spirit contacts the Spirit of God. Then that's real worship. I also believe in divine healing. And I haven't told Brother Steve this. I may have told him before, but sometimes I'll call him when I'm not feeling good. I don't know what he's doing over at Rob's Ranch somewhere. I tell him I don't want to bother him, but I'm not feeling good today. I want you to pray for me. He'll pray for me, going about his business. First thing you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I believe in divine healing. Yes. And my old pastor taught us strong. Old Brother Martindale, he said, I like to sleep just like the rest of you do. Said, your wife gets sick? Don't bother me. Let me sleep. He said, these signs, this book says these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, reach over and pray the prayer of faith for your wife and go on back to sleep. Well, that's a pretty good instructions. Listen, we need more spiritual worship. Because through it comes divine anointing. Oh, yes. Divine healing is very important in the atonement. For He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. And I remember that little woman. I've told you about it before over in San Blas Islands. Brother Steve's been pretty close to me where this took place. You remember going with me, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why Sister Gaylor wouldn't let go no more. You got real sick when you got back, didn't you?
I did.
You sure did. But we was in some strange places, sleeping on some strange beds. Not mattresses, not innerspring, not Sealy's. Just pretty rough places. But God, I found out God will heal there. And that little woman, she had sent for me. And some of her people had come where I was at and got me, and I went over. And she said, it's been several days since she'd been able to even stand up on her feet. And she said she had heard about my God, but she said, my God can't heal me. My God can't do nothing for me. Because it was just an idol. So it can't do anything for me. Maybe your God would help me. Maybe your God would do something for me. I said, He will and He can if you'll believe in Him and believe in His Son, Jesus. I said, if you'll believe in His Son, He'll do something for you. And that's when I got to bring out Jesus. She said, your God has a Son? I said, yes, He does. Then she asked the premier question. What is His Son's name? Oh, when you start talking about Jesus, hey, you can talk about other things, but when you start talking about Jesus, then you open up a whole different world. Oh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the hope, and we're looking forward to greater things in the Lord as time closes and we get closer to the kingdom. We've got wicked men in charge of our nation. my grandson called me and said, if you want to get over the hump, vote for Trump. I said, no. And I asked, I said, who's Dylan voting for? He said, he's voting for Cruz. And I said, you vote for Cruz, you're going to lose. You got to vote for Jesus. He gets all my votes. Amen. It's not a political race. I'm just telling a little bit about it, what I do. Listen, spiritual worship, we must contend for those. Like you had here Sunday before last. God don't want you to fall into a pattern, just have to be that way every service. But he wants you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh, not just emotion. I'm not against emotion. I've saw a lot of emotion that God wasn't in. Haven't you? Oh, I've seen people walk the back of the benches, fall before they got to the back. God wasn't in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lucille Dawson, she was in a service one night. Somebody knocked her over. Then they stepped on her glasses and broke them. And she said, I don't believe the Holy Ghost breaks eyeglasses. How do you feel about that? I don't believe it either. We're going to move on here. We need more than just a talking religion. We need a religion that's for real. Last point, but certainly not least. We need to preach and teach and believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I know it's a controversial subject, but I've already got my ticket, whenever it is. I'm leaving out of here. Amen. When you see all these things begin to come to pass, and read about it in the 21st chapter of Luke when you get home. When you see all these things begin to come to pass, what are you supposed to do? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yes. The reason our churches are plagued with worldliness and men refuse to preach the word, they're not looking for the coming of the Lord. But my old pastor said it over and over and over again, old Brother Martindale, one of his favorite sayings. If you're saved, you're not sinning. And if you're sinning, you're not saved. Well, that's the gospel in a nutshell. How can you quit sinning? By having Christ live within you. Oh, yes. Now, the dark soul world's getting darkened. Sin is bringing a lot of things in. The last lamp is going to go out one of these days. And if you're not going to defend, you say, well, I don't want to get confused. And I don't go along with it, but I don't want to be offensive. Well, if you don't want to be offensive and you don't defend the lamp burning, when the last one goes out, you'll be there in the darkness. I'm going to defend the lamp, the light, the Word of God. We can never get rid of the darkness by talking about it or cursing it. We must light the candle. Oh, yes. God wants His holy church without spot or wrinkle. And I remember when nearly all the Pentecostal churches. See, when you're 80 years old, you can remember some things. I can remember when the Assemblies of God, Church of God, all, nearly every church you mentioned as Pentecostal stood for holiness and righteousness. But many of them are passive now to the things of the world. Listen, many of our churches now, or some of the churches, I don't know of many of them, but some of them, they even have movies inside the church. And all the old-fashioned preachers that I was brought up under preached against the movies. You went to the show, you just headed for hell until you got in the altar and repented. They didn't cut you no slack at all, even if you said it was a religious movie. They didn't believe in no such things. Oh, listen, I'm just about finished. But God wants His church holy. Oh, He don't want football games inside the church. No, no, no. You say, well, I don't feel condemned for this. Well, that's very easy to explain. The reason you don't feel condemned is you're operating in the darkness. get in the light, you'll be condemned. Brothers and sisters, do you see how badly we need a holiness church in this hour like this church here that will let our light shine out in this dark world? The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:15, about two or three more scriptures and I'm finished. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I like to hear our young people when they get up here for after their classes and then get up here, the choir gets up here and sings. Listen, the world's looking on. We need to keep our lamps trimmed and burning brightly. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and Jesus was speaking himself, he said, ye, he's talking to his church, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. Also said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. No man can serve two masters. I choose Jesus. I take the Lord for my Savior. Stand with me, please. Sorry I couldn't do no better. But I'm still up on my feet. I give God praise for that. Is there anyone here tonight? You say, Brother Rich, I feel my need of getting closer to God. I realize I'm slipping and moving in the wrong direction. You'd like to come tonight and get close to God. Raise your hand. Anyone, anywhere? Yes. Are there another one anywhere? Yes. Yes, get close to God. You say, well, I'm going to be all right. Yeah, I found a scripture two or three weeks ago over in Old Testament. Forget where it's at now. It says, their feet shall slide in due time. Yeah, it's in there. When people think they're going to stand all on their own, their feet's going to slide in due time. I pray that you'll stay true to the Lord. How many feels your need of drawing nearer to the cross? Oh, hallelujah. Let's come around the altars. Everyone that will. Brother Steve, I wished I could have done better. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to get a chair or something to sit down on.